Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Garden Mama here for Lakeland Yard and Garden. Brighten any porch or walkway this fall with colorful cushion mums. While you're there, check out the large selection of tropical plants and citrus trees. Don't forget to pick up your winterizer. Lakeland Yard and Garden Center, Lakeland Drive and Airport Road.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
All right, welcome in on a night where we're talking about a transfer portal pickup. And no, you're not listening. Old episode. You didn't accidentally stumble upon something from January. No, it is August 4th, and Ole Miss has added yet another transfer portal player, and an interesting one for sure. So we're talking about that on this hot, extremely hot Sunday evening. My name is Michael Borky. I appreciate you guys being here on this edition of Rebel Report Live. So we are My gosh, guys, we're inside of 2 weeks, or excuse me, inside of 3 weeks until the start of college football season. It's week zero, but still. And we are inside of 4 weeks until the start of regular college football season for everybody else. It is it's rapidly approaching, but we're talking about something tonight that kind of feels like it should be stuck in January. But that's okay. This is a good, an important thing that happened to Ole Miss, so we are talking about it tonight. I'm glad you're here. Follow me, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. Don't forget, if you're on YouTube, to like the video and subscribe if you have not already. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get them. Just search Rebel Report. And this edition and every edition of the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. We all know that injuries in life are unavoidable. We hope it doesn't happen to you, but if that day comes where you have been personally injured, or you may have a small business or contract dispute, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered. Located in Saltillo, Mississippi, he will not only discuss legal options with you, he will not only take care of you with in-depth knowledge that you can't find anywhere else. DJ didn't write that. I'm writing that in, but seriously, he will take care of you like you're a person and not just a number, because DJ Gregory and the Gregory Law Firm is built different. And again, personal injury, small business, contract disputes, 662-397-9799. That's the phone number, 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today, the Gregory Law Firm. Again, you may not need him today, but save that number. Personal injury, small business, contract disputes, the Gregory Law Firm, bringing you tonight's edition of the Rebel Report. Okay. I guess Matt Zenitz was first on this. The second the player hit the portal, everybody kind of almost jokingly at the time thought, you know, he's probably going to go to Ole Miss because Lane Kiffin just gets every transfer portal player that there is, apparently. And sure enough, it ended up coming true. Matt Zenitz yesterday reported after he did a crystal ball a few days ago, but reported yesterday that Micah Davis, ex-Utah State wide receiver — you might be wondering, why is Micah Davis still in the portal? I thought the portal was closed. It is, but his coach got fired. Blake Anderson got fired at Utah State. He entered within the 30-day window that you can after a coach gets fired, and now he is, according to Matt Zenitz, in Oxford and is expected to transfer to Ole Miss. So Micah Davis was a honorable mention all-conference player last year for Utah State. He's a senior, but played in 2020, or at least recorded one carry in 2020. So he's got what should be 2 years of eligibility remaining. Let's see if I've got that right. So he started at Air Force. And again, his first year was 2020. So he should have, if I'm looking at this correctly, 2 years of eligibility remaining. Had a good year last year, 628 receiving yards for Utah State a year ago, 6 touchdowns, averaged 17 and a half yards per reception for Utah State. Also ran the football a good bit for Air Force as well, had 47 carries back in 2021 for Air Force. Also a pretty good returner, had 27 punt returns last year for 250 yards. Did have a long of 35 in that regard. Also returned 6 kickoffs for 83 yards. And that is where a lot of people have kind of pointed to, where like it makes the most logical sense to add him to be a return man, a special teamer. And look, on the surface, that makes sense. Who knows what the coaching staff's plan actually is for him, because they're certainly not telling any of us about what their plans are for him. But 1+1 often does equal 2 there. I'm curious to see what the return game is like for Ole Miss anyway, because in a perfect world, as good as Ulysses Bentley can be in the return game with his speed and like playmaking ability, I don't know if you want him getting hurt if you can help it. And if he's going to be RB1, which it sounds like he's going to be, maybe getting him out of the return game is ideal for Ole Miss. And so maybe that's part of this. But I had somebody ask me yesterday, why would he go to Ole Miss? Why does Ole Miss want him? Like, aren't they good at wide receiver? And my response was yes, but you can always be better. I love this wide receiver core. I'm about to go through some numbers here in a second that's probably going to blow your mind. I love Ole Miss's group of wide receivers. I think that there's a real chance that it's at least the most experienced, if not the best overall in all of college football. And this addition only kind of solidifies the depth piece of it. But they're trying to win a championship. That is what they're trying to do. And so if this player is available and can help them at all, then they're going to go get him. I mean, it's really that simple. They're trying to win a championship. Player became available. He can help them. I mean, obviously, he can catch the football. When you have 630 yards receiving at the FBS level in a season, you can play wide receiver, right? And so if nothing else, it's a depth piece, but can help them in the return game. Some, I assume, maybe, you know, if he comes in and the coaches seem that, you know, he's acclimated to the team and is trustworthy, you don't have Jordan Watkins maybe returning punts, although he's so sure-handed. Maybe they value that more than the return ability. We'll have to see. I mean, he's got to get to campus and get to practicing first before we start truly talking about what role exactly he's going to have. But regardless, just another depth piece on a team that is filled with quality depth pieces. We went through it the other day, but Ole Miss's twos, a lot of guys that are not going to get starting snaps for Ole Miss this year would not only be starters, but like players that they desperately needed to stay healthy for an entire season as a starter in years past, especially like on the defensive line, for example. I think a couple of backup safeties would be big-time starters on Ole Miss teams of the past. And now you've got some wide receivers in this room that would be starters on teams of the past, and they're not going to. And that's a really, really, really good thing for Ole Miss. So I haven't seen official word from Ole Miss yet. Lane's next media availability, I will actually look that up for you because I have forgotten. And I thought that I remembered, but let's see. Let me scroll for a second. So Monday. So Lane Kiffin will talk tomorrow. So if he's not enrolled yet, then maybe he won't be able to talk to them. But Lane Kiffin will talk at 11:45 tomorrow. So maybe we'll get some more insight into that. But I kind of feel like his answer is going to be obvious. Player was available, trying to win a championship. He can help in that regard. So interesting pickup for sure. The timing is something else. But that's two wide receivers that have joined the Ole Miss team after campus started. That very well could help them this year. I want to go through this because this is why the podcast is titled what it is. And this is why I love this group, this receiver room so much, and why I am so confident in this offense being one of, if not the best in the country, and one of, if not the best in school history. So I did some math. And I didn't do every single wide receiver on roster. I did every receiver that has taken significant snaps, or I expect to take significant snaps this year, whether it be at Ole Miss or at the FBS level. This is the experience Ole Miss has at wide receiver. This is mind-blowing to me. Trey Harris has 2,512 career yards and 22 touchdowns. Juice Wells actually has more than Trey Harris. Juice Wells has the most collegiate receiving yards on the team. How about that? He has 2,818 receiving yards at James Madison and South Carolina, respectively, and 28 touchdowns. Jordan Watkins has 1,776 receiving yards and 9 touchdowns. Micah Davis, who just joined the team, has 849 FBS receiving yards, so college receiving yards, and 8 touchdowns. Jordan Smart, you guys remember who that is? He is the transfer from North Texas, who Ole Miss has added, has 561 college receiving yards and a pair of touchdowns. Deion Smith, who some people would argue is the most talented guy in this room. I've got to see that to believe that, but the talent, I mean, Ole Miss fought for him for years to finally get him on campus, so there's a reason for that. Has 186 yards and a pair of touchdowns. Devin Price has 179 yards and a touchdown. Caden Lee, who everybody on that campus loves, the true sophomore, think that he's going to take a big step forward. He might also help in the return game this year as well. 114 yards and a pair of touchdowns. Aiden Williams, uber talented. Aiden Williams is 80 yards as well. So those are either the guys that have experience at this level. And again, this is all FBS. This isn't high school. This isn't junior college. This is just what they've done at the FBS level. The Ole Miss wide receiver room, of the guys that are going to play, have 9,075 receiving yards at the FBS level and 74 touchdowns. That is what exists in the Ole Miss wide receiver room. Think about that. 9,075 receiving yards and 74 touchdowns in the receiver room. There's nobody in college football that has what Ole Miss has in experience. And also, they have a guy who I was unfamiliar with, frankly, if you want to continue the math, Isaiah Harderup, who played at Southern Illinois, had 1,320 receiving yards and 9 touchdowns in his career there. So that's not FBS, but that's still college. You want to loop him in there? Sure. Just for the fun of it, 10,394 receiving yards and 83 touchdowns in the Ole Miss wide receiver room at the college level. Does Ole Miss have the best receiver core in college football? It may not be the best, but nobody in the sport presents that kind of experience at this level the way that Ole Miss does. It's unbelievable what they've been able to do. And guys that don't have eye-popping numbers are so again, some people would argue, the most talented in the room. So it is pretty remarkable what they have at that spot. Jackson Dart's got weapons for days. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. They've got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's very likely to be one in your backyard. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. Also, the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs. So if you're a Mississippi business and you need technology in the office, absms.com. That's the website. Tell them I sent you, and you'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me, absms.com. All right, here we go. 20 days away from college football returning, talking about week 0, of course, but you're looking forward to Florida State versus Georgia Tech, but potentially a sneaky good game in Ireland. I think there's a chance that that's a really good game, and I'm not saying that there's going to be an upset, but if you looked up 20 days from now and Georgia Tech beat Florida State, you shouldn't be surprised. Maybe you will be surprised. You shouldn't be surprised if Georgia Tech beats Florida State. There's a lot to like about Georgia Tech, and Florida State's replacing a lot. I know they're really good and really talented. Norvell's done a really good job there, but still, I just wouldn't count out the Yellow Jackets. Other games that day, by the way, Montana State at New Mexico, SMU, by the way, ACC member, SMU at Nevada. And if you're a real sicko, I mean, there's no TV listed, so I don't know where you can find it, but Delaware State's at Hawaii at 11 p.m. Central. But I don't think there's anywhere for you to watch that. I'm watching the hell out of that SMU-Nevada game, though, on that Saturday night. So good luck to Mackenzie Long in the semis. Yeah, man, it's – I love the track. It's so electric, and the fact that she's in this position is remarkable. She's got a real chance. She's got a real chance. Thoughts on the Sharon Moore Michigan cheating stuff? I know that there are some people that are saying things like, you know, everybody's doing something like that. Maybe they are. Maybe everybody's got some espionage operation where there's a guy in disguise on the sideline of a team a future opponent is playing. Maybe that's the case. I don't care, though, because Michigan got caught. They brazenly cheated, and not paying players cheated, because there's a moral objection to what Michigan did, right? Like, there's not a single person that looks at what Michigan did and thinks that's okay that they did that. No rational person looks at what Michigan did and thinks that's okay. But when the NCAA would punish Reggie Bush, right? What they did to Reggie Bush in USC that Lane Kiffin had to deal with. I'm morally okay with players getting paid. I think they should have gotten paid the whole time. So when you've got the NCAA punishing schools for a five-year investigation that finds less than $30,000 or around $30,000 total in benefits and punishes them severely, that's a joke to me, because I think that a player should be allowed to go use somebody's hunting land if that person wants them. Or a player should be able to get $1,000 if somebody wants to give them $1,000. It's America after all, and I'm glad judges have agreed with me on that. But in this case, there's no mixed feelings about what Michigan did. They blatantly cheated for years, and the evidence is stacking up against them. The NCAA has, I don't know how they were able to find some of the things that they found. Let's see. Five coaches, according to ESPN, have been levied or will be levied level one violations. Their new coach, Sharon Moore, deleted 52 text messages with Connor Stallions the day the report came out. He was, in fact, on Central Michigan's sideline scouting. They did it 58 times at least in 3 years. It was obvious watching them. The evidence shows that they had signals of their opponents obtained against the rules. That, to me, is something that is worthy of vacating their title. Now, the NCAA and its gross incompetence should have done it a while ago. And yes, I know after the scandal broke that they won all of those games. Like, they won the national championship. They probably were the best team in college football. But that's the thing. They were that good, so they didn't have to cheat. But they did, and they should be severely punished. This is the only thing that the NCAA has left that they can actually enforce that people agree with. They cheated the game for years, and they got caught doing it during last season. The title should be taken away from them. I think, and I know that it's just a paper penalty. Like, we all saw it happen. Like, you can't take the memory of the games away. Michigan fans, like, will still acknowledge it, but they need to be stripped of the title. That's what I think should happen. They got caught red-handed in an elaborate cheating scheme. They weren't paying players. They were cheating in an espionage operation that everybody on staff knew about. Every single coach on staff knew about it. Plausible deniability is gone. They all knew. They were all a part of it. They benefited from it. They won because of it. Take their title away. Barring something stupid, we're still 2 months away from Ole Miss's season really starting. Yeah, but there's still a lot that we will learn about this team before Kentucky, I think. There's a lot that we can learn about this team before Kentucky. And it's mostly depth-related and health-related, knock on wood. But, you know, I'm going to be very dismissive of Furman in Middle Tennessee. Very dismissive. But, like, if they go to Wake Forest and completely dominate, that's noteworthy, you know? But I can tell you what my post game for Furman's going to be. It's Furman. Well, we'll talk about the other games. Like, it's literally going to be that, unless somebody gets hurt. It's Furman. That's your analysis. There might be some people that are going to like break down the game. Not going to be me. That's a waste of time. It's Furman. But anyway, Harbaugh left for a reason, no doubt. Evening, Ryan. Glad to see you. So when is the COVID year gone? Well, it's almost over. Brandon, it's almost over. It's going to be a lot easier to keep track of all this stuff soon. It is almost done. Love the depth in the wide receiver room, but every year it's like three guys who contribute and no one else. Frankly, I kind of think that it's going to be the same again. But they did have functional depth issues over the last 3 years. They certainly didn't have this, right? And like you saw it with Aiden Williams last year in the Tulane game, did one thing wrong and Lane yanked him. Right, in close games, I do expect to see a very tight rotation. But because of the way the schedule sets up and other things like that, at least they have the opportunity and the experience and the talent to rotate more often. I mean, in a perfect world, I would love to see Trey Harris not take the field in the second half until Kentucky. You know what I mean? That would be ideal. To protect Juice, because you know Juice got hurt last year coming off of an injury, those kind of things. They've got the experience depth that they need to not do that every single Saturday. Will they do that? We'll see. I think that Lane should take a page out of Pete's playbook when it comes to how he rotates on defense versus how they rotate on offense. But take some risk off of Watkins and Bentley in their turn game. That would make a lot of sense. How's it going? It's going great, man. Glad to see you. Maybe you're missing something, but Ole Miss really hasn't done much at all on punts or kickoff returns under Kiffin. They really haven't. All you can think of is Ely in 2020 versus LSU and Watkins against Mercer, usually fair catches. And, you know, there's a line of thinking that with this offense, just don't drop the ball because you're good enough to score. Just receive the punt. It's all you need to do. Just catch the ball. Because that, in the past, has not always been something that you could say about Ole Miss punt returners, is that they just catch the ball. They've had trouble with that in the past. Hell, they had trouble with it last year. That's why Watkins was doing it with a broken hand. But the return game really has been kind of non-existent for Ole Miss. And I wonder if that's been a point of emphasis. You know, I guess there's a new special teams coach, and Joe Judge is there now. So he really should be able to help them with that. And maybe that changes things. Why does it feel like Michigan will put all their sanctioned era failures on Tyrone? I don't think they will. I think they're going to try to put it all on Harbaugh because he's not there anymore. Davis says the return man will be great this year based on what he's done so far. Maybe take more reps at wide receiver. The only hangup is hasn't done it at this level. You know what I mean? And luckily, you get some auditions, not just in camp, because he's got to get caught up to speed with the team. Because it's not like Deion Smith, right? He hasn't been training with people affiliated with the program or knowing that he's going to Ole Miss until very, very recently. So you would think that Ole Miss has been able to get Deion, you know, knowing what the offense is and stuff like that, at least working on it, you would think. In this case, not so much. So it might be a little bit more time for him to adjust, but yeah, he did it at Utah State. Can he do it against the SEC? We'll have to see. From my perspective, why are South Carolina fans upset at Ole Miss regarding Juice Wells? They're not upset at Ole Miss. Well, I mean, they kind of are. They think Ole Miss tampered and told him not to go back on the fields because he was going to Ole Miss next year. Maybe they did that. I don't know. But they think that Juice got paid and then chose not to play. They think that, I guess, he faked his injury last year. And they think that Ole Miss tampered and told him not to play. That's what they think. And so they're very in their feelings about that. I understand why. I truly, I get it. I do, because their program's not in good shape. He's a really good player, and he left them for Ole Miss. And those people think that they should be above Ole Miss, and they're not. So they're getting their in-state rival is significantly better than them and has been for quite some time. They have not taken a step forward as a program. Their coach at times is overly emotional to the point where I think it costs them games. And their best player would rather go play at Ole Miss. There's a lot to not like as a South Carolina fan right now. And so they're kind of, you know, how fan bases are sometimes. They look for scapegoats. And Ole Miss and Juice Wells are easy scapegoats for much bigger problems within their program. It's not just a Juice thing. It's a them thing. But fans can't blame their own. They would rather blame outside factors. Some people have been that way when it comes to the current state of Ole Miss baseball. There's a very pleasant message board thread about me because of that. Because they would much rather blame somebody else than their own. And that happens sometimes. The only two units you think compete with Ole Miss's wide receivers are Oregon and Ohio State, for sure. Oregon has four of their top five back, including Tez Johnson, and they added Evan Stewart. And yeah, Ohio State's is really, really talented. Neither one have this amount of numbers, though. But like Ohio State's best receivers are true freshmen, it seems. But yeah, that's the territory that you're talking about. It's one of those three. And you can make an argument for each one. Immediately, Memphis Rebel, like right away. He won't put up with it. Lane Kiffin will not put up with mistakes in his offense. He doesn't do it. So Deion is not touching the field at all until next year, I think. Oh, gosh. There's no way of answering that to know for sure. I think that they're going to do whatever they can to try to get him on the field. It's up to him to be that guy. What I'm very curious about is because Ole Miss has not rotated at wide receiver in the past. They just haven't. And he's not taking the job of the three established starters at wide receiver. It's not happening. He's not taking their jobs unless one of them gets hurt. Watkins and Wells and Harris are established in this offense. They're high level players. They're not getting their jobs taken. It's not happening. So the only way that he will touch the field is if the coaches, and specifically Lane Kiffin, are confident in his ability to not screw up when he's in. That's what it comes down to. And I can't answer if he's ready to do that or not yet. Ohio State consistently has the best wide receiver groups. Their defensive lines are usually really good. This Ohio State defensive line could be really, really, really good. They like Ole Miss, brought damn near everybody back. The Ole Miss wide receiver, number 23, his name is Drew Burnett, and he's a sophomore from Memphis University School. Had the roster up. Look at me, I'm prepared. Pro Football Focus says Oregon 1, Ole Miss 2, Ohio State 3 in receiver core rankings. There you go. Georgia Tech could be okay this year. They get Notre Dame at home in a huge letdown spot. Watch out. Aren't they playing that game off campus? I think they are. I think Georgia Tech has decided to play that game in the Dome to sell more tickets. I could be wrong about that. Let me see. Because I don't like that move. I understand the money thing. But I don't like that move. If you got Notre Dame coming to your place, then let them come to your place. Let's see. Georgia Tech, Notre Dame, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Yep. That's very, I don't like that. It's very dumb. But the United States is number one in medals in the Olympics, not number two. And they're number one by a pretty significant long shot. They are number two in golds, but they're catching up quickly. Everyone, yourself included, keeps forgetting about Caden Prieskorn and how big of a threat he could be. Not me, but I hear you. Yeah, the tight end, and I mean the three tight ends really that they've got in that room now, including a true freshman, is or adding a true freshman to that. That room looks useful, very, very useful. And what that offense has been able to do with even just useful at tight end has been pretty special. And I think that Prieskorn and Wright are, I mean, Prieskorn's an all SEC preseason guy. So what could Dart improve upon with his throwing? I mean, as I understand it, it's less about throwing and more about seeing the field and reading defenses. I mean, he doesn't have the strongest arm you've ever seen. He doesn't, and that's okay. There's a lot of guys that play a lot of years in the NFL that don't have the strongest arms. Hello, Drew Brees. So I think it's more about that than it is that people are overly critical about him throwing deep balls, and it's false narrative is not the right phrase, but it's misguided. Is he the best in college football at it? No. But is he very good at it still? When you look at the numbers and the advanced stats compared to his peers, yes, he's very good at it. He just doesn't complete every single one of them. And was much better, especially in the intermediate routes, the intermediate to long routes in 23 than 22. He really took a step forward there. I think it's protecting his body and, you know, reading defenses a little bit better, more so than throwing the football. Talk about all the experience as a receiver. Look at all the snaps the offensive line has. It's crazy. I know, man. So the first practice, they had three guys from the offensive line that didn't participate. Like they weren't full participants, didn't do the team stuff that the media could see. It was Pounds and then the two Washington guys. So three expected starters when they were picked up anyway. They may not start. But three guys, like three of their portal guys that they added, expected starters, let's just go there, just for the sake of this discussion, were not at practice. And the five linemen that started for them, four of which were returning starters from last year's team, and then Jerquan Scott, who has like 34 starts in his career. That was the offensive line minus three guys. It's incredible, the depth, the experience that they have there. It just, the only question is, what is the ceiling? What is their ceiling? If you had Prieskorn for pass catchers and not just wide receivers, you'd have them number one of the country with Wright too. Yeah, that's a good one. I'll have to see more of them, but it looks like Wright is certainly capable catching the football as well. Physically looks really big, but I'll have to see more to know for sure, but it looks like he's a balanced tight end. Seriously. They deserve an asterisk? I agree. No, they don't deserve an asterisk. They should get it taken away. They should get it taken away. I disagree with that they weren't that good part. Look at the teams that they had to beat to get to where they got. They were that good. If Reggie Bush got his Heisman taken away, then Michigan should have been torn apart. There's still a chance. I don't trust the NCAA, but there's still a chance. Fun fact, the F word was spoken all of one time in the Marvel Universe. Deadpool and Wolverine itself at 118. That's funny. If Ole Miss won the national championship, what are the odds the NCAA and some familiar local media launch another witch hunt into them? There will certainly be a concerted effort locally. I promise you that. Lane's phone records will be searched for sure. I have a feeling Lane is smart enough to not use his university-issued phone to do bad things, but I would have assumed that Hugh Freeze was smart enough to not use his university phone to do bad things, but here we are. And also, they would tell the NCAA to F off, is what they would do, because they actually understand that you can do that there now. You were stoked that you were a first-time season ticket buyer, and then Ole Miss tried to hit you with the donation. I'm very sad I'm not a season ticket holder anymore. I think those two, like, they go hand in hand, right? I don't know. I do not buy season tickets for obvious reasons, but I always assumed that you had to do both, that you had to buy tickets and give a donation. You will be able to buy a few single game seats, but they're going to be really expensive. However, just wait. Like, even the Furman game, I assume there's going to be a lot of people there, but you will be able to buy cheap tickets for the non-conference games when it gets closer. Like, you'll be able to get in the door for Middle Tennessee and Georgia Southern and Furman for pretty cheap. You will be. You definitely will be. Is there any chance they implement some type of new running scheme that the college football world has never seen? Wishbone, triple option, or anything that can utilize the talent on hand to maximum benefit? I don't know if they'll go anything like wishbone or crazy like that. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if you saw a lot of two tight end sets. Eugene, we'll help you out, man. When it gets closer, you don't, you know, it'll be really hard. Georgia, you'll have to spend an insane amount of money. Same thing with Oklahoma. But when it gets closer to these non-conference games, like week of or day before, I promise we'll be able to help you get cheap tickets. Like, I promise you we will. So you got to sit tight and, like, be able to get up there last minute, but you'll be able to. Even in a season like this, you'll be able to go see them for relatively cheap. Now, this year, more expensive than every other year. But still, we'll be able to help you out some, I think. If I had to be tackled by one member of this roster, who would I choose? Okay, I've got the roster up. Let me just scroll and find the smallest guy I can find. Josh Akka is a wide receiver from Starkville. He's 5'9", 205, though, so he's kind of thick. Let me see if I can find somebody smaller than that. There's 5'11", 200, but he's a safety. Don't like that. No, not Matt Jones. He would wreck me. I mean, all these guys would wreck me, but not Matt Jones, because he would truly wreck me. Gosh, even the punters, 6'4", 230. Probably Charlie Pollock. That's the frat house punter, right? Yeah, probably him, because he looks like he's in the worst shape on the team. That's probably it. Carter Short, the long snapper, 5'9", 195. Maybe that one. Somebody like that. Not Caden Davis. Mike Baker, whoever that is, the kicker, 5'9", 180. That's probably him. There's a few options for you. I could line up across from Nolan and Pegues and be just fine. I would love to do that, just to see what that feels like, you know? Just give me one snap across from Walter Nolan, just so I know what that feels like to try to block him. That would be so much fun. Your main concern with Deion is he game ready as far as conditioning goes. With the tempo, he's probably going to miss some time because you can't depend on keeping him out there for an entire series if he's not. He's got a lot of time to get ready for that, though. Glenn Waddle has attended every Ole Miss home game since 1965 and every home and away game since 75. Legend. I did not know that. I actually saw him the other day, too. Yeah, seriously, this is exactly right, Pat. Juice faked an injury, but he had to have surgery on it. Maybe South Carolina fans should worry about being relevant. That's the problem. They're not, and that's what is impacting. That's why the discourse is as ugly as it is around Juice Wells. That's why. You've predicted 5-7, but you don't know if that's good enough to get Beamer fired, just not a good program. That hiring never made sense. If his last name wasn't Beamer, does he get the job? No. Most troublesome thing you've witnessed lately is line drive, very returnable and difficult to deal with punts. I hear you. If they hit their potential this year, who's the best NFL prospect, Trey Harris or Juice Wells? That is a good question. I think Juice Wells would be the better NFL prospect. I think. Yeah, you know, I was actually going to talk about the dart thing tonight just because of how stupid it was. But guys, the amount of people that fell for that was wild to me. I mean, I got a dozen text messages. You had people that work in media elsewhere that were inquiring about that. As if some random anonymous dude on a Mississippi State message board would know first that Jackson Dart got hurt. Five years from now, do any of Mississippi State, Arkansas, South Carolina, Kentucky, Auburn, Oklahoma, or LSU have the same head coach? 5 years from now, do any of them have the same head coach? With the way the SEC is going, no. Most likely to still be there is Brian Kelly or Mark Stoops. I do not think one way or another Jeff Lebby will be at Mississippi State. I definitely don't think Sam Pittman will be there. I definitely don't think that Beamer will be at South Carolina. I do not think Hugh Freeze will be at Auburn in 5 years, and I don't think that Venables will be at Oklahoma in 5 years. So if that answer is no, or if that answer is yes, it's because either Kelly or Stoops is still there. Ireland game is Georgia Tech, Florida State. It's at 11 o'clock in Ireland. Yeah, that message board post about Dart posted on message board. Geniuses was a bad look. Like the little trope post by Ole Miss Football. Yeah, that was pretty good. Okay, so we tied for first in gold after today. We dominate that every year. I have no idea if Jaden Dix, the defensive end from Canada, will play significant snaps. I have not heard anybody mention him in quite some time. The state game must have just sold out. That game will be much cheaper than Oklahoma and Georgia, though. Don't expect many Bulldog fans in Oxford Black Friday. That's why there were singles available for that game, was because they didn't sell their allotment. And especially if they're rolling in there, you know, 4-7 or something like that, very, 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 very few Mississippi State fans will be there. Yeah, you need to. It's too late for you to get season tickets. They're all sold out, but that would have been a great investment. So, they're talented with wide receivers and tight ends, but remember, only three things can happen while throwing the ball, and two are bad. A little worried about running back Bentley's injury prone. Henry kind of skinny. Diggs hurt knee. Well, Bentley has been injury prone. He did put on some weight, but he's electric when he plays. Parrish is not a big back, but they also know how to use him, and he's incredibly experienced at this level. Amos was over 1,000-yard rusher last year and is an absolute bowling ball. And so there's your three running backs without Diggs being available. And at some point during the season, he can be available if needed. So, got to see it first, but there's a lot to like about the room too. You can see commentators saying Daquan Wright is right, or just Daquan is right. That's going to happen. As far as I understand it, Jim, that is not how or what those were for. Have I heard anything from Mississippi State training camp? I haven't listened to recent Thunder and Lightning yet. Not much. There's still a lot to be concerned about on defense. They really like Blake Chapin a lot, though. They really, really like him. They really like what they have at wide receiver. But not intimate detail. And you're not going to get anything from Lebby in press conferences either. But hopefully this week we'll get a little bit more. Don't forget they started later than Ole Miss, too. Only by one day, but still. Charlie Pollack is peak male performance. Austin Simmons is a good one, a guy that you'd want to get hit by, or Caden Lee. But they're just so fast, man. You got to find like the one guy that's on the team that isn't the best athlete in the world. Depending on how much playing time they get this year, the D-line has a chance to be good next year with the Franklin, Echols, and Rush. Yeah, and then, of course, whoever they add in the portal on top of that. Xavien Harris, I assume, would return as well. And I think he's going to have a big year. So, if you love my show, not trying to see me die lining up across from Nolan. Just one time. I just want to feel that power just one time. I mean, because I got to play – I played against a few offensive linemen that found their way – into college football. A handful of them made it to the FBS level. And those dudes were different, man. And I practiced against three of them every day. So I played linebacker. I was much heavier than I am right now. A good kind of heavier, too. I played at like 230. I was just, just slow as shit. So I didn't get to, nobody big looked at me. But our offensive line had two tackles, one went to Virginia Tech, one went to ECU, and a center that went to Clemson. That was on our offensive line. And so practicing against them, and then our two running backs, one went to North Carolina Central, and then one ended up going to Arkansas after a JUCO stint at Georgia Military. So our offense was sick, man. We had a wide receiver that went to Army to play, quarterback that played at Presbyterian. So, like, we kicked ass on offense. But I got to practice against them every day, and just the difference between those guys and normal guys is so obvious. It was fun though, man. I want to feel, because none of them played pro ball. The Clemson center started like for 3 years on really good Clemson. There are 2 years on really good Clemson teams. The guy at East Carolina and Virginia Tech, both of them started eventually too, but. They were just your run-of-the-mill college football players. I want to know what it's like, because I never got to play against a Walter Nolan, like five-star lineman who's going to play in the NFL, possibly a first-round pick. I want to know what that feels like. I would love to. The U.S. national teams in the Olympics have been the only time you never cringed at when people refer to them as we. Me either. I love that. I refer to them as we. They're our countrymen and women. I do that with them too. I don't do the we thing, like even with the Saints, because I don't play for them. But Scottie Scheffler, I was rooting for, like I told James, I was like, we need this putt. Because, we're on the same team that time. Thank you, Edward. Glad to see you, man. See you Tuesday. Always pick the punter or the kicker to get hit by. Backup preferable. Yeah. Best player you played against was Omar Connor. What's he doing now? He looks like he's a coach at Hines. Good stuff. Good stuff. Get tickets through Ole Miss. The per ticket fee is like $6. Yeah, but the price is really high. So you might be able to get them cheaper. We'll see. So my position group never played Oklahoma at practice. By the way, this isn't a woman, not using my account. Well, we did, but what I'm saying is those three linemen that I referenced were college football players, but they weren't first-round pick caliber college football players. I practice against them every single day, but it's different than having a Walter Nolan on your team. Oh, yeah, there's layers to that. How'd the Hall of Fame game go? It was fine. It was football. It was what we needed. It was football. Watched the Ole Miss Notre Dame game on YouTube. It was great memories being there in Jackson, watching your brother Hoppy kicking two field goals. Aiken, South Carolina native. That is awesome. That is absolutely awesome. That stadium's still there, you know? Still there. I've been inside only once. I went and saw Jackson State play when I lived in Jackson for a year. Well, I've lived here for 10 years. Was in Oxford for four, obviously, and then I've been here for 10. But I was in Flowood for two, Jackson for one, and then I've been in Madison ever since. But I did go to that stadium. And honestly, when I was sitting there watching the game, I was thinking about like those kind of games that were played there. It was kind of cool sitting there. Best player I played against, Marcus Lattimore, by a long shot. I played golf in the spring, so I was captain of the golf team. We were bad, and played football in the fall. But Marcus Lattimore was the best player I played against. He was, depending on your service, number one recruit in the country. And the thing is, man, he was awesome. Just a classy guy, a really good dude. It was a shame that his career got cut short the way it did. Just two bad knee injuries at South Carolina that just kind of ruined it. But he was special and just so fast and so physical. And God, man, he was something else. He was by far the best. But the team that he played on had two defensive ends that played at Tennessee. They called him the Tennessee Twins. That was fun. And his quarterback was Chase Dodd, who played at Rutgers. They kicked our ass, if you haven't put one and two together yet on that one. But there was a linebacker, so I didn't play against him, but he, you know, was on the team that we played, named Jake Nikolopoulos, I swear. He went to Clemson, but had like a stroke of some kind. And didn't get to see his college career through. He was a freak playing against him, though. My goodness, he was awesome. He was big too, and fast for his size. He was awesome. And then, oh gosh, what's his name? On the same team, he played for the Steelers, wide receiver, Martavius Bryant. Took me a second, but Martavius Bryant, the problem with him was you could see when he wasn't getting the ball. Like he was the kind of guy that, at least in high school anyway, when he wasn't getting the ball, he didn't run. He didn't come off the ball at all. Like he didn't run his routes. And the team that he was on wasn't very good either. He went to the school, T.L. Hanna is what it's called. If you've seen the movie Radio, that's that school. Like that, the true story. Very real movie, very real thing. We played against them, and he was around. He on the sidelines, bopping around, just, you know, living life. He played safety and got cooked by DK twice. That's an honor, honestly. Like Lattimore trucked me once, and like it's awesome. You've played in only one organized football game. Your Army company team needed a quarterback, so you played. You won. Your total games 1-0 forever. 100% win percentage. Look at you go. That's awesome. Thank you, by the way, Captain Jim. Pat, don't be mean to Barbara. Don't be mean to Barbara. Oh, man. We've gone for almost an hour, so I'm going to go ahead and hang it up. I appreciate you guys. We will be back on Tuesday, so I'll see you on Tuesday. We'll go a little bit earlier, 7:45. Hopefully, we can get started a little bit earlier. But anyway, 7:45, 8 o'clock on Tuesday, we'll have we'll have a lot to talk about because there will be press conferences and stuff like that. We'll learn more about what's going on through camp. We'll get some more info about Ole Miss's new wide receiver. A lot's going to happen between now and then. So looking forward to seeing you guys then. Thank you for being here. Like the video, all that good stuff. And I'll see you guys on Tuesday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.